Well, we're back. Daisy Maldonado and Peter Goodman co-hosting today on Speak Up Las Cruces. And we have the pleasure of talking with Georges Cordoba, who is originally from Venezuela and was just saying that what happened a week or so ago was great news for Venezuela. So give us your point of view on that.
Sure. First of all, I was born in Venezuela, and I raced until I was 18 years old. Then I was invited to do an exchange program in the United States as an exchange student and to learn English. I went back to Venezuela, and 2 years later, I was recruited to play NCAA Division I with a Fulbright here, Fulbright scholarship here at NMSU. So I'm an Aggie. And I was here for quite a bit. Then I was hired to go to Florida to work with IBM and came back here. So I've been a U.S. citizen for nearly 40 years, but I'm a Venezuelan as well. And I wrote a couple of best-selling books. I went to present my book in 2018, and that was the last time I went. My parents passed away. They're many people in Venezuela migrated from Europe. I'm descendant from Greek and Spanish families, and there's Portuguese, German, Italians. And so the country's, you know, been growing because it's a rich country. Not so much now, but that'll change. The bottom line is that in the 50s and 60s, I grew up in 1960. I was born in 1960, and I saw the U.S. helping Venezuela with installing the oil industry there. In 1975, they nationalized the product, but the U.S. was consulting all along since I can remember, before I came back to the States for good. And one of the things that kept happening is that all the training, all the studying for the experts in oil did their stuff here in the United States. But I put something together here so, you know, people can see some perspective from somebody that is born there, a true Venezuelan, and what's the sentiment. But I wrote it, because I don't want to miss anything. It's two paragraphs. Do you allow me to do that?
Or? I guess. Sure.
Yeah. And it's, so I just said that I've been, was born there.
You need to have your face at the microphone.
For many Venezuelans, both inside the country and in the diaspora, the news of Nicolas Maduro's capture has brought a profound sense of relief and hope. After years of political instability, economic collapse, and humanitarian crisis, countless families have suffered tremendously. Many Venezuelans see the moment as an opportunity to finally begin healing past wounds and rebuilding the future. We are thankful for many efforts that help restore stability, support the rule of law, and open the door to meaningful reconstruction, especially in the critical sectors like agriculture and obviously the oil industry. Because of the environment, we need environment cleanup, which have been devastated and polluted over many years. People are eager for collaborative efforts that brings jobs, investment, and dignity back to our communities, and that address the long-neglected devastation of beaches, lakes, and rivers affected by the oil spills and neglect. Like many, I hope the country can begin a path towards lasting peace, democracy renewal, and prosperity for all Venezuelans.
I'm curious how, I mean, some of the things you said, like environmental, obviously Mr. Trump is very against that. Not going to help you there. Wants the oil. But in terms of meaningful change in democracy, as I understand it, the vice president who was elected with Maduro is in power, and the U.S. is saying to her, as long as we get the oil, you can stay in power. It's not saying release political prisoners. It's not saying, you know, be more democratic. So how do you foresee just Maduro being gone having that good an effect?
Well, it is really the beginning of the end. I foresee this to last at least two more years. There's militia in there that was created by this regime. There are a couple of terrorist communities there, the Hezbollah, and also what they call the Tren de Aragua, which, by the way, they've been infiltrating the border here. They capture a few people in Albuquerque. They're making noise, bad noise, in Colorado. They did the same thing in Houston. So, and there's also the Russians are there. Venezuela is heavily armed. If you look at it with satellite, you're thinking, wow. And you could see that there was an agenda, which, by the way, this particular scenario affects positively the entire hemisphere. In terms of the environment, I'm not into politics, but I could tell you that what's happening now is very positive. Whether you like the Trump administration or not, it's very positive. What has happened, if you don't know, they have asked to release prisoners. They finally are doing that. The thing that is, if you don't know, and you only hear the media, you don't know the really truth. Well, I have family in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is they've been holding, Maduro was a puppet. The real snakes are behind. And this is, the cartels and all the stuff that is going through the back. Many prisoners they're not coming out. So they're assuming that they're dead. They don't know. So these other snakes are telling the current person that is being negotiating with the United States, they're pressuring her not to do what the United States does. So there is a game there. But the bottom line is that they will help. They already started an agreement that the U.S. will buy oil from Venezuela, whatever they can produce, resell it in the international market, and give that money back to Venezuela so they can restore. But they need some expertise. There's no way to clean the environment. And I am sure, because of what I saw growing up, that what's going to happen with, I don't care which administration is helping now. I don't even watch the news because it's so divisive. But, by the way, I am independent. I have voted for both parties since I'm here, since 1980. So, I just go through what I think is best for the country overall. So it is good news. I heard this morning my wife called her parents, and they finally released about 600 political prisoners.
Oh, good.
There's a few that they can't find, so there's some concern there with human rights. Were they executed like in Cuba or something like that? So I do see, Peter, that in fact they will help with the environment and restore. I mean, if, like I tell my daughter, she goes, well, I don't know, look, this was illegal and this stuff. They don't think about that. They're just so happy that they're liberated. When Ms. Corina Machado was given the Nobel Peace Prize, our media asked her, what do you think about the U.S. invasion in Venezuela? And then she goes, invasion? We've been invaded for 26 years by the Colombian guerrilla, Venezuelan guerrilla, the Chinese, the Cubans, the Iran, Hezbollah, whatever the agenda they had. And if you were there, you would not see it. But people that live there, constantly losing electricity, no water, in the big cities, crime. So, it's not a good place to live. And people just want peace and, like, restoration. Yeah.
Yeah, and if I could just ask, I don't know. I'm certainly skeptical. You know, we've seen the United States government go into many other countries and say that they want to help and restore peace, and unfortunately leave those countries in pretty, you know, disarray. And there's always lots of internal, right, like civil wars and civil conflicts. So I guess I'm hoping, you know, I want to share your hope that this will actually turn out differently for Venezuela and its citizens. So I guess my question is, in terms of what you were really hoping the United States is going to do to restore, who would they restore the power to, and what would be the best case scenario for Venezuela?
Yeah, great question, by the way. What I hear is that they have to work, the U.S. has to work with the regime that is still there. They just took the puppet out, and they don't want to. What they want to avoid is what happened in Syria a few governments ago. You know, they had no idea who they were firing to, because there's so many people armed there from different bands. Mm-hmm. That's what you have in Venezuela. It would be in Venezuela is 6 times bigger than Syria, so or 10. So imagine the bloodshed that would happen. So they're trying to avoid that. Venezuela has to be very patient. Between now and, like I said, maybe 2 years and even more, they have to little by little taking away, restore the country, even socially. So I believe, I do have the hope, and I hope I'm not wrong, like many, many Venezuelans, the U.S. is going to follow through, because if they do what happened, let's say, in Afghanistan, you actually, or in Iraq, you kind of like get all the ants out of the thing, and now everybody, you know, it's just, I know my culture, that's not going to happen. They're just relieved that finally there's like a light at the end of the tunnel. And another thing that I think is that many of the expertise from agriculture, iron, the gold mines, Venezuela is the second producer of gold, and then oil, guys that were, you know, professionals that were trained here in the U.S., that some of them will go back. Some of them, even though they've been out for 15, 20 years, older people, the younger generations, they'll stay where they are. They migrated to Spain, Italy, you know, where we were, our descendants came out. Some of them are here in the United States. I came here to play tennis, but I married my college honey, and I stayed here from Belen, New Mexico. So I love this state. When our kids just got older, and we said, let's move back there. We moved from Miami, Florida 4 years ago, back here at the Cruces. And I was a tennis pro up at Cacho Hills, and just one day I would love to talk, not about this situation, which I'm very happy that is happening, but about what I do to help people.
I wanted to, you know, you have a personal history of hoping for impossible things that happened.
Yes.
So tell us a little about your personal
recovery. I'm a survivor of a stage 4 melanoma with 8 brain tumors and 2 of them inoperable. I fought the disease for 10 years, and I had 10 surgeries on me. But on year 8, broke. I had tapped out my insurance coverages, and so we had to tap into 401ks, IRAs, and college funds for the kids. We have five children. They're all 5 adults. We have grandkids now. And so, but on year 8, with a leap of faith, I decided to take the holistic health journey, stop traditional treatments. And that worked for me. So I wrote a book, Beating the Odds, My Journey Through Holistic Health to Overcome Cancer. And it became a bestseller. Mm-hmm. Then I wrote it in Spanish, and also became a bestseller. There's 550 million Spanish in the U.S., yeah.
You're also a hypnotherapist?
Yes, I was a I studied computer science here in New Mexico State and became a chief technology officer through the years. I worked for IBM and Accenture. But after getting sick and surviving, I decided to come to the health. So I became a nutritionist, a hypnotherapist. I do energy work, and I just do transformational coaching. And my gig now, I help people that are going through cancer, particularly, it's my experience. I help them restore their health. They're very scared, and they continue, you know, the mind goes to what is familiar, and everybody is like, oh, it's chemotherapy. There's no other option in their brains, but they are. So I work with those options with my clients. But lately, I decided to create a group. It's called, and I trademarked it, the Prevention Revolution, because your health is your most valuable asset, and I can attest to that. From being a CTO, I had to really, it really impacted my career, obviously my family life. But so what I do mostly now is helping people prevent the disease. I'd like to share one thing real quick. Almost 7 out of 10 U.S. adults right now have a chronic disease. 44% of them have 2 to 4 chronic diseases. Almost, 46% of the U.S. adults are obese. Yep. And 18% of kids from 2 to 18 are obese. If we continue this trend, according to the Harvard School of Health, by 2030, around the corner, half of our nation will be obese. Which, imagine the impact.
I can't imagine how that happens when we poison our atmosphere and buy poisons at the grocery store and ultra-processed
absolutely.
Food,
absolutely.
Et cetera. At any rate, thank you, Georges Cordova,
thank you, for being with us. Thank you guys for having me here.